Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to another program in the In the Father's Hands series with host Mary Kate Grady. Her guest for this pre-recorded program is Father Thomas Cuffell. And Father Cuffell is originally from Wisconsin, and he's been a priest for over 30 years, serving in various places, most recently in Alaska. He joins Mary Kate today from Immaculate Conception Parish in Fairbanks, where, in addition to his many parish responsibilities, he spreads Christ's light in a special way to the poor. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry. We want to wish everybody out there a very blessed new year of 2022. Now, my prayer for you in this new year is that you may know the wonder of God's love in a very special way. And we're so happy to have you join us for a new year of our program, In the Father's Hands. Thank you for walking with us from 2021 into 2022. And I just want to say a special thank you to JMJ Catholic Radio for hosting our program. We're so thankful to have Catholic Radio here in the Diocese of Scranton. And I just wanted to put a little shout out that if anybody, part of their New Year's resolutions, wants to make a donation to continue Catholic Radio in our area, please go ahead and do that. You can contact them at 570-287-4670 to get more information and about sending a donation to JMJ, or you can mail them a check at JMJ Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 851, Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. And also for any of our listeners out there, if you have any input for our specific program, In the Father's Hands, you could go ahead and send us an email at inthefathershandspodcast@gmail.com. And as we always like to do with our program, is to go and visit Jesus promised to us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your promise to always hold us and keep us in your hands, and please continue to do that for us in this new year. And I'm so pleased today to introduce our guest, Father Tom. Father, thank you so much for coming on our program today.
You're most welcome, Mary Carey. Good to talk with you.
Now, Father Tom, I always like to start off my program by asking my guests if they would share with us their favorite scripture verse and why you like that verse so much.
Definitely. When I was in the seminary, we had a little sign over our altar. It said, Deus solos sapiens, God alone is wise. And that comes from basically Colossians, where God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's also in the Litany to the Sacred Heart, full of wisdom and knowledge, the heart of Christ. And so seeking wisdom is the greatest blessing we can. As you know, when Solomon was asked, "What do you want from me in light of your father, David?" He asked for wisdom. And so when I was in the seminary, that became a part of our theme, that we would always seek wisdom. So seeking God's wisdom is my favorite passage in scripture, and anything that deals with wisdom are my favorite passages.
That's wonderful. So you probably enjoy the Book of Wisdom, I guess, Father.
I do. I'm writing a little commentary on it right now for some people and doing some study with it. So it's rather interesting and intense. Basically, there's two. In the Book of Wisdom, they identify wisdom as a lady wisdom. And then they also identify another wisdom of the fool lady, the foolish lady. And so Lady Folly is her name. And so you have Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and they they kind of go contrast each other, and helps give a definite idea of how we should live our life.
Well, that's beautiful, Father. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I bet the dissertation that you're writing is going to be very interesting. I might be interested in getting my hands on that if you'd be interested in sending that to me. So,
yes.
Thank you for sharing that verse with us, you know.
You're welcome.
And Father, I do always like to have my guests, too. If you could just tell us just a little bit about yourself, if you wouldn't mind.
I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and graduated from Marquette in the 80s, and then headed off to the seminary. I was privileged to go to Rome in the seminary and went to the Dominican College there, our university, St. Thomas in Urbe, or the Angelicum. Spent 7 years there, and then after that, I went to... was assigned as a priest in Nebraska for two decades. And then after serving in Nebraska, I asked the bishop if I could come up to Alaska, and my bishop released me for a while. And so I'm in Alaska now for 5 years. So
are you still a priest in the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska? Or are you a priest in the diocese where you're at, in Nebraska, or are you a priest in the diocese of in Alaska, Father?
I'm a priest in Lincoln on loan to Fairbanks, the Diocese of Fairbanks.
Okay. Are a lot of the priests in Alaska from other dioceses?
Yes. There's only, in actuality, there's only two, I think, maybe three priests incarnated in Fairbanks, and the rest, there's about 20 priests now. The rest are from the world: Nigeria, Zimbabwe, India, Poland, myself, and one from Argentina. So yeah,
okay.
we have an international.
You truly are a missionary priest.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, wonderful, Father. Well, something I like to talk about in this program is just if we look at our lives and we look at the promise of Jesus and the Gospel of St. John, of how the Father's always holding us in his hand. I think when we look at our life, we can see maybe instances in our own life or the people that we serve or who are around, or ways that God just reaches out to us to let us know his presence, the way he guides us into what we're supposed to do. And I don't know if you could share with us some ways that you've experience God's guiding hand in your life.
There's a lot of that. You know, when I decided to go to the seminary, God definitely guided me there. I knew a priest who knew a priest, and they had a program in Rome, and so they had a discernment program in Rome, and so all of a sudden, October of 1985, I found myself on a plane. I had to get a passport within a week. I mean, it was pretty much a whirlwind way of getting to Rome. But and then the next thing I knew, 5 years later, I was getting ordained in Rome. So
just like that,
you know, one priest told another priest, and a door opened, and a plane ticket came and a passport came, and you know, and that's pretty much an open door. And then coming to Alaska, that was another opening door, you know, to go west. You know, they always say, young man, well, go north. So I got in my truck and drove, I don't know, what is it, 4,000, 5,000 miles north to Fairbanks.
Wow.
And been here for 5 years now. So yeah, it's doors open, and God guides us and God directs us. So
could I ask you, Father, what inspired you to go to Alaska?
Oh, I always read about different the stories and things like that, you know, out there. And it was kind of interesting how they, you know, the Klondike and the movies about Alaska, and then there were some shows on Alaska going on. So, just became an intrigue, and so I went up twice. I went up in January for the first time, and then once in June, and experienced both the kind of total darkness and also the total light. And so I thought I could handle that. You know, it's not everybody can deal with the, it's called seasonal defective or disorder, or SAD, seasonal affective disorder. So, you know, a lot of people actually find it more difficult in summer than in winter. It's just hard to sleep when there's 24-hour light. So
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, I know when I actually volunteered at the Turtle Mountain Indian Reservation in Belcourt, North Dakota, and you know, it's pretty cold up there, maybe compared to Pennsylvania. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. But also in the summertime, the sun stays out very late in North Dakota. It's not like Alaska. It's not 24 hours. But I remember in the summertime, it would be like 11 o'clock at night, and I would be, you know, outside doing garden work or something like that. And I was thinking, boy, you know, like my big marker over here was like, once it gets dark, that's when I close up shop, you know. And here I'm getting so tired, and I'm wondering why the sun's not going down. And I look at my clock, and it's like 9:30 at night. And I'm like, wait a minute. Because out east here, you know, we don't experience that. In the summertime, the sun stays out late, but it's amazing how, like, the weather, the sun, all that affects us so much, our schedules, you know. So quite a change for you, I'm sure, from being in Wisconsin or in Nebraska even, you know, temperature-wise, seasons and all that. So,
yes.
Father, have you been a missionary in any other place besides Alaska?
Yes. When I was in college, when I graduated from college, I spent a year down in New Mexico in the Diocese of Gallup. And so I spent time there teaching and working in a shelter, and worked at the Jicarilla Indian Reservation in Dulce, New Mexico. That was kind of an eye-opening experience, very rewarding. And then when I was a priest, when I became a deacon, I spent two summers. I spent as a seminarian and a deacon in Grenada, an island down in the Caribbean. So I had experience of kind of different types of missions, the Gallup, and then the Caribbean, and now Alaska.
Now, do you see, because they're obviously different cultures, different people, you know, do you see any common thing between those missions you've been to, and what's been the same and what's been different about those different missions you've gone to?
Actually, the Athabascan natives from Fairbanks area. It's rather a huge area. The natives like to call themselves the Athabascans up there. They're very closely related to the Indian, the natives down in Albuquerque, and they say actually the language with the Apaches and the Athabascans is very similar. So the people have very similar roots, you know. Mm-hmm. They definitely have similar struggles in life. The natives up in Alaska, they struggle to integrate, and they struggle with definite addictions, and they struggle with an identity as a people and their culture, which is very similar to what happened in New Mexico and throughout the whole of the North America and probably South America, you know, with the native population. So losing their identity and their kind of the culture, it creates a lot of similarities, and you know, learning how to deal mm-hmm. and with that, mm-hmm. and learning how to kind of help and encourage people to say, you know, there's an identity in Christ you might want to look at too, not just your identity as a people, but as identity, you know, your dignity as a person of God, you know, created in the image and likeness of God. So that probably be the very definite similarities, you know. And I think everybody has a struggle with identifying themselves with their dignity as a person of God, that God loves us no matter who we are, to be known by God and allow God to love us. Very powerful and very healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that there's obviously differences between the different places, I'm sure temperature-wise, correct? Because if you're in Alaska and how cold it is and the sun being out, or at times no sun, versus when you've been in other places, there's no such like weather temperature issues. Am I right on that?
Alaska has a variety of weather, from negative, I think the coldest I've ever been is negative 50. Today it's like negative 25, but
that's no big deal.
it's a different kind of cold. You get
sure.
somewhat used to it, but and then the summertime it can get up to 80. So. So, you know, the weather definitely plays a factor in it. In our soup kitchen, you can definitely see that. In summertime, we will, during the week, we can serve anywhere from 600 to 1,000 meals a week. We do bag lunches or hot meals in the cup because of the COVID restrictions and protocols we placed in our system now. But in winter, you know, we're serving probably 200 people a week here. Even that's a lot, you know, especially due to the cold, you know, 20, 50 people, and, you know, usually 20 people. And then during the week, there's probably one or two people or one or two days that are warmer than others, and a lot of people will come.
Okay. What is your outreach to the poor, your parish kind of look like, Father? You've already been mentioning some numbers there, and do you have like a parish hall where you serve people? Do they eat there? Do you deliver it at people's homes? How does your ministry to the poor kind of work in your parish?
We used to invite the people into our parish hall and serve them, but with COVID, we closed that portion down.
Okay.
And found out that we only did that on the weekends because there's another soup kitchen in town that would serve during the week. But we then transitioned to a daily service where basically it's a drive up or a walk up. We have a window, a serving window, and we have a little room where we have kind of makeshift kitchen. We have a full kitchen where we can prepare and make our food, and a lot of that's donated, so that makes it easy. But then we just serve out of roasters and give the people, you know, we put a lot of things in cups, you know, from coffee to tea to fruit to salad to, you know, whatever meal we're having. So it can all go in a big cup, and we have little cup carriers and plastic bags, and it actually works very nice. The people, it's pretty easy for them to carry, and they can also bring it home and have another meal later on during the day. We usually try to give more than just one meal to a person because we know that a lot of times this is the only place they're going to eat.
Sure, yeah. That's wonderful, Father. God bless all your work there. I was wanting to ask you a question, Father. You know, when in the one part of the scriptures, Jesus says to his apostles, you will not always have me with you, but you'll always have the poor with you. And I was just wondering if you could just maybe talk a couple minutes about how you have found God in the poor, and how, like, maybe for the listeners, like, how can we find God in the poor? How can we serve him in them, and how can we let them bring him to us?
That's a powerful question. Interesting. what I noticed with the poor is that there's a lot of, I would just call it trauma in their life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of brokenness, beginning at young ages, you know. One gentleman told me, you know, his parents left him at eight years old, left him with some, left him with some beer, and they took off, you know, and
wow,
and you know that's his life. His parents mm-hmm. take off, you know. There's mm-hmm. a lot of neglect, some abuse, things like that, and so a lot of these people they never really experience the touch and love of God, and so they act out very powerfully and emotionally, especially when you try to help them. And you can see there how wounded and broken they are, you know, like you see in Jesus, you know, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the deaf, mm-hmm. the dumb, you know, the dying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people don't know how to handle that. You know, they didn't have a family structure or they didn't have, you know, the love or whatever they needed in their life to help them through some of these things. And so with the poor, you get a lot of trauma and a lot of psychological struggles. And so trying to walk with them and heal them and just listen to them, that's the most important thing, is identify them as a person. I notice at our soup kitchen, you know, a lot of the servers, they always talk to the person as, you know, how you doing, you know, what are you doing. Like Sunday, one of our gentlemen was reaching, are you sober today, are you sober today, how you doing with your drink, you know, identifying them as a person, that, you know, rather than condemning them because they have these issues, you know,
sure.
but trying mm-hmm. to lift them up. And for anybody dealing with the poor, you know, you have to recognize that we're all poor. We all have some poverty. We all need Christ. And, you know, to see, you know, once again, back to what John Paul used to tell us, you know, the dignity of the human person. Don't dehumanize, don't depersonalize. Make them a person to see. You know, John Paul talked about his, you know, the perfectibility of the person. You know, we're perfectible.
Mm-hmm.
God can perfect us. You know, obviously we can't, you know. And right. when Jesus says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father's perfect, that's a command. It's not some, you know, kind of proverb. It's an actual command. And we have to allow the grace of Christ to perfect us in dealing with difficult people or difficult situations. That's exactly what perfects us.
That's beautiful, Father. That really speaks to me. Also, because I work at a hospital and I get to experience all sorts of people. So thank you for those words, because I needed to hear that. So thank you so much, Father.
No, you're welcome.
And, you know, Father, do you, now with your ministry there in Alaska, are you there for a, do you know the length of time or that's kind of up in the air?
That's kind of up in the air right now. Bishops and I are getting together here probably in a month or two and decide future. So, yeah, every year we kind of examine and see what I should or shouldn't be doing and
mm-hmm.
what the bishops need and what I need.
Right. That makes sense. The life of a missionary is never really quite his own, you know, Father. So
that's right.
I think about when Jesus told the apostles, you know, like, go out, go forth, I'll tell you what to say, and don't worry about what you're going to take with you. And that's so true in so many ways in a missionary life. You know, you're never quite sure what's going to happen, and sometimes you don't have what you need at all to do what you need to do, but you have God. That's really all you need, and there's just a lot of trust in that lifestyle, you know? So
that's right.
A very truly radical living of the gospel just handed right to you. So
yeah, exactly. Very true.
Yep. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for all the work and the missionary work that you're doing there, your whole priesthood, and also your missionary work there in Alaska. And please be assured of my prayers. I'm asking all the listeners if they would keep you and your parishioners in their prayers as well. And before we close out today, Father, our program is almost over. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And would you give us a final blessing, Father?
Oh, most certainly. Just read an article about the great blessing that we go to Mass to receive the blessing, you know, and the blessing at the end of Mass, you know. Ita Missa as, go out and be disciples. That's the great blessing that Christ feeds us in the Word, Christ feeds us in the Eucharist, and then we're supposed to go out and feed people through our words and through our sacrifice. So let us bow our heads in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are the font of wisdom. You are the font of all knowledge. We ask you to infuse in our hearts and our minds, our bodies, our souls, this wisdom, this knowledge of you, this counsel, so that as we are blessed with your presence, we may in turn bless others with your presence, knowing that what we receive, we give away, and what we give away, we receive in return 100 times more. And may Almighty God bless each and every listener. May Almighty God bless each and every person. May Almighty God bless those who are struggling, those who find life difficult, those who confront evil, those who have lost loved ones throughout the past year, those who are going through difficult times, that you may find consolation and joy in serving our Lord. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. And just want to remind all our listeners to tune in and listen to our program. And please keep Father and all missionary priests, all lay missionaries in your prayers as they go forth in a special way to spread the good news of the gospel and to recognize the poor and whoever they're around as persons, as children of God. And again, if anyone wants to contact us here at our program for any input or any questions, you can go ahead and email us at inthefathershandspodcast@gmail.com, inthefathershandspodcast@gmail.com. And thank you all for joining us. God bless you. God bless you, Father Tom. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day now. Bye to you all.